you pick up things from listening to the TV once in a while. Sometimes you get something good from TV, you know. Not very often, maybe, but once in a while. And I was listening to this news program, and they were discussing an interesting subject. The subject was happiness. Are people happy? How to be happy and so forth. And they had a professor on the program, a lady from California, at the university there in California, who taught on the subject of happiness. That was her subject. What is happiness, or how to be happier, or whatever it was, I don't know. But and they'd done studies on this, about what makes people happy or unhappy, perhaps. And she found some things from her studies. She found that the happiest people are usually people who are grateful, people who are thankful, have that kind of disposition, that look at things, they're grateful and happy because they are grateful people, have people they don't have an axe to grind and are generally glad that they're alive and with their life, and they're thankful. And she had some other things that I thought were quite interesting and really in line with the Bible, and maybe says in different words. It's quite interesting. She said some people think, I'd be happy, or most people think, I'd be happy if something happens. I would be happy, for instance, something outside myself happens to me, then I would be happy. I would be happy if somebody gave me 100% raise in my salary, for instance. Oh, then I'd be happy. I'd be happy if I could move to a nicer house in a nicer area. That'd make me happy. Guy's got a car, hardly runs. He said, I'd be happy with a new car. That would make me happy. Or with kids to grow up okay. That'd make me happy. Well, that's a little getting closer to what the Bible says. But whatever, it's extra pay, better job, nicer in-laws, whatever it might be. They would be happy if they got it. But she found in her studies with a lot of different people that when that something outside you received, then the happiness faded. It didn't stay. It was just temporary. It makes me think about what Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He didn't mean it was bad or evil or necessary, but it's just temporary. It doesn't last. It doesn't have any permanence to it. All these pleasures of life, which are pleasures to some degree, and they make happy people, but they don't last. And that is difficult. There's another kind of happiness. He says, there's a happiness from outside that you receive from outside. Then there's a happiness that you get from inside, within you. And that is the kind that lasts. That's the kind that's more permanent. An inner happiness and joy. It's the same word is used sometimes in the Bible for them. Although I found an interesting thing about the meaning of happy or happiness in the Old Testament, in the Scriptures, in the Hebrew, is quite interesting when you look at the meaning of the word. But the first place, I like to talk about being happy today, happy, happy, happy talk, as they said in the South Pacific, how to be happy. But she found, or the experts found, that focusing on something outside of self helps happiness. Helping others, for instance. Focusing on something outside of the self aids happiness. I think of one lady years ago who had melanoma cancer, a wife of a minister, Leonard Scriber. You remember him and his wife, his first wife, and she was really a sweet lady. I don't know if you knew her or not, but she had this disease that got worse and worse, and she was in pain a lot. And so she couldn't even come to church anymore because of the pain and everything. And one Sabbath, Leonard was getting ready to go to services and preach, and she'd been home for a couple hours by herself. And she says, wait a minute, Leonard, can I go with you? He says, well, if you want to. She says, yes, I'd rather go there than be here. And she went there, and she was with the people, and she had some fellowships and enjoyed herself, and she heard the sermon and everything. And she came home, and she said, you know, all the time I was there, I didn't have any pain. I felt better. I felt okay. Then I got home and it came back. But it was interesting because you saw here that she was focusing not on her own self. There, she was focusing more on the people that she liked to see, again, the brethren, and she loved them, and she liked to be there with them, and she missed them, and they glad to see her too and everything, and she heard a good sermon and all that. So she had her mind off herself for a while, and it really did give her some happiness. That's kind of an interesting thing. You know, the first place where you see the word happy in the Bible is an interesting place. It's over in Genesis 30, verse 13. And there's a guy in the Bible called Happy. You know, if you had you saw Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, remember the one of the dwarfs' names was Happy? He was always happy. No matter what happened, he seemed to be happy. But in the Bible, there's one too. His name is Asher, one of the children of Jacob. And his mother, or you know, they were happy about having the child, and so they called him Happy, Asher. Interesting that word in the Bible about happy, where you see the word happy, is more than a person might understand. You think happiness, joy, gladness, you know, contentment, all these things, but actually, in Old Testament, we find the word means a lot more than that. New Testament pretty much means joy or happiness. But the Old Testament has a different word for Asher, and it means, interestingly, it means to be straight. To be straight, yeah. To be on the level, or be level or right. To be level or right or straight. Or you to take the word right or righteous, add the O-E-O-U-S to it. So it has more to do with character. And also, it does mean joy, too, to some degree. But, and figuratively, from Thayer's lexicon, or we find, not Thayer's lexicon, but Gesenius, says, figuratively, this word means, happy, means, or Escher, means to go forward, to be honest, to prosper, to go, to guide, to lead, or to relieve. And it's rather interesting. Every one of these words has real resonance in the Bible when it comes to happy. How to be happy, different words here do figuratively come into being, and we'll see so. We're going to look at some of these words in the Bible, how the word happy is used. Let's turn over here to 3 John 1, right before Jude, right before Revelation, the very small book. Doesn't even have any more than, one chapter hardly, but it's very important things to say in certain ways. 3 John, verse 1, it says, to beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. So he's very gratified, rejoiced, very happy to see God's people still walking in the truth. They were enduring. They're following God's way, and they had been taught. I have no greater joy or happiness than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, I can say that amen to that as a minister, and I know Mr. Hafley could too, and all the ministers who really love God's people and want to teach them the truth for their good, so they can prosper and do well. And when we hear about brethren that we used to be ministering, who are still faithful in the church and still following God's way and growing in grace and knowledge, we're so gratified. Makes us so happy, and it's inner happiness that really stays with you. It isn't something that's just, you know, I'm happy I saw that movie, I'm happy I had that nice ice cream or whatever, and it's gone. But it stays with you. And this is one where your happiness is seeing other people happy, other people doing well and successful. in 2 Corinthians 1:24, Paul says, we're not running your life, in other words, and paraphrasing it, but we are helpers of your joy. The ministry are to be helpers of God's people's joy. Help them enjoy life more in the right way before God. Helping to learn to love God and love your neighbor, and love your neighbors yourself. And if you do that, the Bible does show that certainly keeping the Ten Commandments, not only in the letter but in the spirit of the attitude, is going to be very much helping you to enjoy life and have a good life and a happy life. Now, not later, only in eternity. So he says, I have no greater happiness and joy to see God's people doing well. Psalms 128. Let's turn over to Psalms and notice some scriptures there about happiness, how to be happy according to the Bible. And notice some of these other terms that are used for the word happy in the Bible really do fit. Here, as we just brought out in 3 John, is where somebody gets happiness out of helping somebody else. And that's very pertinent to happiness. Like they said, people who study that, they said you'll get more out of focusing on something external to yourself. People. You care for people. You love people. You want to help people. And then you don't think so much of your own self. They said most of the suicides are caused because people think of themselves only. They're down on people, usually. They don't think anybody is their friend. They think everybody hates them or something now, and there's no reason for living because it's all self. I'm poor little self. I'm being infringed on somehow. And that's the way to be miserable. I know if we look at ourselves too much, you're going to get miserable once in a while, aren't we? Because we don't face up to some of the things we should do. But when we look at the bigger picture and we look at other people with a more positive attitude, it helps a lot. And we're going to have friends. If we make ourselves friendly, the Bible says we're going to have friends. If we don't make ourselves friendly, then it's going to be harder to have friends. I just reading a book about how one man was selected to take over the corporation from this other man who had retired. So they had a whole bunch of executives come in and talk over the possible men they would have for it. Should they take somebody from inside the company or recruit somebody from outside? And finally, they came up with one man they all decided was the best man to be as the new president, CEO of the company. And they all said the same thing. They said, well, this man is a pleasant man. He gets along with people. He likes people, and he treats them right. And he has his beliefs. He had his convictions on things and how to do things. Certainly, yes, but he didn't treat people badly. He didn't make enemies. And it was kind of interesting that we even saw the same thing, I think, in the church just recently. And I'm not going to say any names or anything, but. I think we agreed on about the same thing. This is a book I just read this week, and I saw that. But that's so true. Christ was very popular with the people, not very much with some of the religious leaders. Cross swords with them in a way, but certainly the people liked him. He did good for them. He helped them. He showed them truth, and also he gave them something to eat, you know, and different things. He had an outgoing personality. And he did really like people. They say the people who do the best with other people in this book, it was interesting, who see the good in somebody else. They're not usually people who complain or are bitter or angry or unhappy about what happens to them. They see somebody, they don't say, well, that person must be that way, and have had a very negative attitude about them, even if they don't know them sometimes. But you know, you've heard the old adage is to know them is to love them. The more you get to know somebody, well, yeah, you might find some things you don't like about them, certainly. Everybody has those, the flaws. But you'll find some things probably, you say, hey, you know, that guy's really good with his dog. Hitler was good with his dog until he killed it in a dead end. Blondie. He wasn't too good for the Jewish people, no. But, those who are close to him, some of them said he was a great guy, some of his secretaries and so forth, because he treated them nice. He didn't bawl them out, and he didn't scream at them like he did with some of the generals and others in the other room. But he gave them some candy, and he said, thank you very much, and was very polite. And, oh, he's a great guy, murderer, mass murderer of millions of people. Well, anyway, let's go on. Psalm 128, I get off on my rambler, I'm sorry, I do that sometimes. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his way. The word blessed here is the same word used for the word happy. In other words, somebody who really respects and honors God and follows his word and follows his instructions, walks in his ways, is going to be happy, is going to be happier than he was before. Talked about you will eat the labor of your hands. That's somebody who's righteous because they aren't stealing from people. They're working and they're earning their daily bread. You shall be happy and it shall be well with you, it says. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. We got a psalm that we sing about that, don't we? And there's a great deal of happiness and pleasure of having a happy family, isn't there? That God shows us how to have a happy family if we follow his instructions, fear him, as it says. That's the first thing it says. Blessed is the person who fears God and walks in his ways. Then it talks about the family. Some families are not happy. That's right. They're, not atypical. They don't work. What's the word? Dysfunctional. Shouldn't have the A in front. I said dis. Dysfunctional. They don't function very well. But ones who function well are ones who are following God's commandments about keeping the family together, how to take care of a family, how to provide for a family, how to love your kids, how to love your wife and your husband. In the book of Ephesians and other places we know, all those different instructions, very, very specific instructions of how to do things right so we can have a happy family. But the basic thing is that we fear God and respect him, and so we do what he tells us in regard to those things. Now, to the extent people don't do that, they will not be happy. But this is a guarantee. If you do this, this will happen for you. And I'll tell you, it works. I tried it. 50 years I've been trying it. Over in Psalm, in the book of Job, Job 5, it talks about, happy is the man whom God corrects. Now that sounds like it's kind of hard to be happy when you're being corrected. God corrects in all kinds of different ways, doesn't he? And he does it because he loves us, because he cares for us. If he didn't care for us, as the book of Hebrews brings out, he wouldn't correct us. But he loves you so much, and he's favored you. He's given you his grace, his favor at this time. And so when you do something wrong or say something wrong or you think something wrong, somehow or another, you'll be corrected. Now, it might be through a sermon. It might be through reading the Bible yourself. It might be through a friend of yours in a church who might say something. It could be all kinds of ways, something you notice somewhere. And then you think about, hey, I've done that too. I shouldn't be doing that or saying that or thinking that. And then you correct it. You judge yourself. But God has ways of correcting us. And we shouldn't take it as a bad thing. It's a good thing. It hurts for a while to be corrected. Yes, it hurts. Psychologically, it hurts. Your pride is hurt. All kinds of things have a temporary wound to it, but it turns out to be good for us in the longer run. It really helps us. So happy is a man who God corrects, and that's the way of looking at it. You look through the rest of that area of Job 5, 17 through 27, I was thinking, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it tells you many different things God does for a person who God will correct, and somebody is correctable, willing to be corrected. All kinds of good things happen to that kind of person who's willing to listen. Trouble with people today, they won't listen. They all think they know better, and that's a big problem. It's always been a big problem since, Adam and Eve. But if they'll listen to God and follow God's way in the Bible as he instructs, they're going to be happy. Over here in Proverbs 3, another way of happiness is something that I think maybe we take it for granted sometimes. I hope we don't. But that's understanding. Mr. Armstrong, remember, came out with the Plain Truth, and he called it the Magazine of Understanding. In the book of Acts, where this eunuch was on his camel, I think, on the side of the road, and here comes Philip, and he's sitting there and he's reading from a scroll or something. And Philip says, "What are you reading?" He's reading from Isaiah, I believe. And he says, "Do you know what you're reading? You know what that means?" He says, "No, I don't. That's a trouble. I don't understand what this means. I need somebody to tell me what it means." And actually, he's talking about Christ and his coming in the future and being our Savior and the things he'd suffer and so forth, and things he'd do. And so Philip explained it to him so that eunuch understood. And he talked about Christ there to him and preached Christ to him. And he understood, and they came down, and then finally he was baptized. But this word here, understand, and now Proverbs 3, verse 13, I was going to turn to that too. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. He doesn't have it. He has to gain it. He has to receive it. Somebody has to show them the truth. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. And by who? By the ones God sends, it says there in, Romans? I don't have that in my notes, but it's so true that you have to receive the truth and from somebody who can explain it to you in the right way. And that's so important. And the understanding is such a key to happiness. Understanding what we're doing here today, why we were born, what God's plan is here below, what eternal life really means, what do you mean the kingdom of God, and all those things, and how to really be successful, and how to please God, and how to be a good neighbor, how to love your fellow man too, is here in this book. And the person who has understanding and understands these words in the book is going to be happier. A lot of people read the Bible. Some know it by heart. They got photographic memories of them, but they don't understand it. They can't put it together right and slice it in the correct way so it all goes together correctly and not incorrectly like a lot of them do. And it's not easy. And God has to give a person that extra ingredient of understanding so they can figure it out and get it right. This word here, happy is the man who finds wisdom and understanding. The word understanding here is sekel, S-E-K-E-L in the Hebrew. It means intelligence. Understanding means intelligence. That you read the words, but do you understand them? Do you read them with intelligence? Do you have the intel on this, like they say in the military? What's the intel on this? Do we have the intelligence on where the troops are and where the dispositions are and where the river is and how the weather's going to be and all these other things we need to know before we do things? We need the intelligence. And if we don't have the intelligence on something, we're going like we're blind. And that's what a lot of people do, even in reading the Bible. They're flying blind because they don't have the intelligence that God provides through his help and his spirit and calling to figure it out in the correct way. I was just reading a book here that my daughter had, an ambassador. I think the book says read the Bible for all it's worth. I don't know if you heard of that one. I've got it at home. I have already looked at it. I looked at something the other day, and it said some people overanalyze the Bible. That's a problem. They take every little thing, and they analyze everything, and so much they don't get the overall sense of what's written there, the principle, the lesson. And they go so deep into some of these things that they get nothing out of it. Like a professor at college, you know, sometimes they get it so deeply into one little grain of thing that they learned, and they avoid the obvious things that needed to be taught to their classes, which is too bad. Use four-bit words that people don't understand, things like that. Anyway, a great source of happiness, too, over in Mark 10, verse 28 to 30. And this is a great source of happiness for us who have good friends and loved ones that God provides for us. Remember when Peter here says, we have left all for you, Christ? And then he says, wait a minute. He says, I'm going to give you a hundredfold. And friends and things and all that. And persecution. He said, put that in there too. He's very honest with them. But you're going to have some persecution. You're going to have some tribulation. But you're going to have a lot of good friends if you come into the faith and follow me. And that's so true. I can say over the years, I've been really blessed to have so many good friends over the years in the faith. Some have died now, but the friendships stay with you, and the great relationships you had with them stay with you, and you're very happy that you've had these wonderful, good relationships with people. And it's a great delight to have that, and a great happiness. In Psalms 119, verse 33, and of course this is a psalm about going too long. Psalms going too long. Psalms 119, 33, and this whole psalm is about God's law and testimonies and word and teaching. Psalm 119, 133, or 33, sorry about that. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. You need understanding to keep God's law, you know? You know how to have to know how to apply it. You need to understand what Christ said about the law, too, to keep it with the right attitude in the heart, not only in the you know, literal keeping of it, but the attitude has to be right. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. I am happy with it. A true converted person delights in God's law and loves God's law. He loves God's law. Notice verse 47. I will delight myself in your commandments. Again, he says, which I love, and my hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Notice how many times he says, I love your law, I love your commandments, I delight myself, I'm so happy with your commandments. I wish everybody kept your commandments. Wouldn't it be a wonderful world if everybody kept the commandments? There'd be less car wrecks. You know, you keep commandments when you're driving your car, do you? If you kept God's commandment to love your neighbor as yourself when you drive your car, you would probably drive better. Maybe you drive better now because of that. But it motivates me. I think, you know, I'm not better than that other guy. I don't own this road. This isn't my highway, like some act like they do, especially ones with the high pickup trucks, you know. Not Mr. Kahn. He doesn't drive that way. I have to make a little provider there. But a lot of times they go by, and they're Fords usually, either, not Dodges. So. Ford drivers, I'm not saying all are bad. There are a lot of good Ford drivers, Mercury drivers, but there are some really wild ones too. And any kind of car, but it doesn't matter. But then over here in Proverbs 33, verse 29, it says to Israel, happy are you, Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord. And we can say the same things that Christians today, since we are spiritual Israel, the household of God, Galatians 6:16. And we can say, oh, happy are you, spiritual Israel, because what God gives us. He's our help. He's our aid. God is our present help. One who is happy also is one who cares about the poor, Proverbs 14:21. Helping, again, gives happiness. I think when you're able to serve, it gives you a lot of happiness. That you're able to be a part of a team working together, maybe at the feast or here at services or whatever, and you can serve. And you're usually pretty happy when you're busy doing something, making things better, making things successful. And many hands make less work, as they say. Proverbs 16, verse 30 says, one who is happy is one who heeds the word wisely. Heeds the word, heeds God's word wisely. In other words, they're carefully kept, keep all Ten Commandments with the right intent and spirit and attitude. They're not, sloppy with God's instructions. They try to follow them as well as they understand and see them, and as God has opened their mind to see it. So we see there's many different biblical instructions. There's many more that I haven't been able to mention today that have to do with happiness. And they have to do with following God's way, keeping his laws, with a happy heart, with a cheerful heart, with a thankful heart. And certainly, you're going to be a happy group of people.